It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
And away we go. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you. And we turn our attention once again to the stream because joining us, as he does every Thursday at 9 a.m., he is an NBA and NFL analyst for the BetQL Network, also the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear every weeknight right here on this very station and fine Odyssey stations around the country. My man, Hatin' Ass Mario. Mario Heron joins us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are we doing on a great Wednesday?
We're fantastic, Thursday. Except it's
Brain
Thursday.
Fart.
There he is.
Hey, look, wow. His hair is dry, and this is the most awesome Mario's hair has looked since he's been coming on this program.
The one thing I've always given Mario a compliment for is he's got good flow, man. He's got a good set of hockey hair on him.
I will say this, I have no idea what I'm doing with my hair, so every time there's like a good hair day, I'm always like, I don't know how I did that. And then the next day, I try to do it the same way, and it turns out completely different. I'm like, all right, well, you know what? You got to roll with the punches.
What a first world problem you're dealing with here, bud.
I know. I'm sure a lot of people do not care about that.
Yeah, nope, not even a little bit. What a hell of a way to start the interview.
You know who doesn't care about that? The bald people.
That's true. Hey, Naz Mario joining us here on the show. Let's talk a little NFL. If we can sneak some NBA in at the very end, we will, Mario. But let's start with this. And I didn't set you up for this, but I do want to start with it. And that is the Jacksonville Jaguars, who call the butthole of America Jacksonville, Florida, their home. I already thought it was going to go real bad for this team. I want to play a quick little bit of audio here. This is Jags coach Doug Peterson being asked what happened, what went wrong on that Mac Jones hilariously bad INT that ended the game. He got asked about it in a presser, and this is what it sounded like.
What was the play? What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out, but we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
Dude's cooked, right?
Yeah, he's more than cooked. I mean, he's been cooked all season long. Him even like calling out, at one point, wasn't it last week they were calling out he was making fun of Sam Darnold, saying like Sam Darnold's like not that good of a QB. Like, it was, I'm putting words in his mouth, but that was like the gist of it. Look, that team's, they're falling apart. They were the team that, just over a year ago, people were like talked about because of the record and the division. They're like, oh, there could be, the team that have the best record in the NFL. And they go, fellas, if you really want to joke and play a little Impractical Jokers, we're about to have one of the worst teams in the league. Like, that team's cooked. It's done. Trevor Lawrence is out again this week. More injuries are happening to that team. Also, is Trevor Lawrence the guy for you really in the future in the long haul? I don't know. But yeah, it's Doug Peterson's out. They'll be looking for a new head coach. And I'll be honest with you, it's like a little appetizing if I'm like an offensive guy.
I don't hate it. And that was going to be kind of the next question I asked was, obviously, right around the corner from Clemson, a lot of folks around here following the career of your hair buddy Trevor Lawrence and his tenure with the Jags. I have said for a while, I think we've seen the flashes. I don't know that I'm going to jump on the parade of people saying, oh, this guy's a generational quarterback, but he has won all the time. I think he didn't lose his fifth career game until he got to Jacksonville. I think the dude can play, and I think he's NFL talent. I don't know if he's elite NFL talent, but I think he's good enough. And I think at some point, and I think the Bears are the illustration of this, man, at some point, you got to find the tandem, and Doug Peterson ain't it. Do you think there's an NFL career in Trevor Lawrence?
So, I mean, like, he had a rough start, right? He had a rough start with Urban Meyer as a head coach. That, that whole first year, you're like, all right, this is just an absolute disaster. So it's a tough start for him. Then he leads the epic comeback against the Chargers in the playoffs, and you think, all right, maybe there's something there. Then they barely lose to the Chiefs, and that game could have gone either way. And then if he does do that, let's be honest, guys, we would give him credit that for years to come. Joe Burrow is a great quarterback, but we give him a lot, maybe a little too much credit for that Super Bowl run that he had 2-3 years ago now. I would say there is something there with Lawrence. I wouldn't give up on him yet. I would not write him off. I would not say, yeah, you know, this was a terrible contract. It's not, you know, in a Daniel Jones situation where you got to get off that money, you got to get off that QB, and you got to get him off the books quick. Because if you don't, you're going to just set your franchise back even more. I think he's a player. I think he's a QB that you can win football with. You can make it to the playoffs with. Contending the Super Bowl, I don't know. I think you're not going to need to build a lot of good pieces around him to do that. The good news, though, of like the Jaguars, guys, you have Brian Thomas Jr., who's a very promising rookie receiver. So there's your connection that you have between a QB and a number one wideout that could last for years to come. You also have a very, very talented edge rusher on the other side of the football. And Josh Allen, I'm blanking the addition he threw onto his name. But strong edge rusher, strong receiver, strong QB. That's a pretty good foundation for a football team. You just got to keep building from there. You got to keep adding pieces. And you have to build through the draft because, let's be honest, it's very hard pitch in free agency to go, hey, come to Jacksonville. You know, what's the pitch? It's not a good one, right? So can he win you a Super Bowl if the right guys are around him? You know, let's be honest, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. You know, I think he'll always get you to compete in the playoffs. So,
Talking to Hayden Ass, Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's stick on that for a minute. This Anthony Richardson thing, he gets benched for 2 weeks for, they're never going to say it's because he tapped out of that game, but we all know that's exactly why he did it. Shane Strike said earlier in the week that he spent the 2 weeks that he was demoted to QB2 learning to be better prepared for games, to be a better on-field leader, yada, yada, yada. I don't know if that's true or not. I think they're bringing it back because they're playing the Jets. The Jets aren't good, and this is an opportunity to really kind of see if he did learn anything. Do you have any optimism? Do you have any hope for the future of Anthony Richardson, or are the Colts going to be looking for a new QB in the next year or two?
Well, first off, the decision just didn't make sense like at all, right? Like, it really didn't. You drafted a guy that's a project that hasn't played a lot of football, and then he gets hurt in his rookie year. So he, you know, there goes a lot more playing time that he just didn't get. And then in the second year, you bench him and you tell him, we want you to learn. The only way that kid's going to learn is on the field, not on the sidelines. That's the only way he's going to do it. It was a terrible move to begin with. Then you play these past two games where you lose to the Vikings and you lose to the Bills. Two games that like they were in, like they could have won those games. Let's be honest, but they fall short. Now you have the Jets, whose Jets are a disaster of an organization. I mean, my Lord, are they just god-awful on every level. So it is a good moment to come back, I guess, and, you know, have a great game. But that Jets defense is no slouch. It's not like that Jets defense is very weak. And Anthony Richardson, yes, you know, do I think there's a future there? Like, maybe, but I'm going to lean on no. He has the worst passer rating in the NFL among starting QBs, worst expected completion percentage, and his completion percentage as a whole is the worst amongst all starting QBs. His aggressiveness is sixth in the NFL. I would not want my QB that has not played a lot sixth in the NFL in aggressiveness. Go for the, you know, dump downs. Come on. You know, we don't really need to fill it. You know, slick it in there in a tight gap. So, I would keep it simple, stupid. I think the Colts are going to look for a QB this upcoming draft because something tells me that Shane Steichen's not committed to a quarterback that he just benched. And very rarely in history do you get benched, get brought back in, extended, win Super Bowls, win playoff games. It rarely ever happens. He's a project and they gave up on it.
All right, couple of teams that have gone through some coaching changes this week. We will start. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this because it is an interim tag, but the Saints finally get rid of Dennis Allen and do what I told him to do last off season. Darren Rizzi steps in. He gets a win as the interim head coach. What the hell does this team do? They're going to be in cap hell, and I do think this is the offseason. Like Mickey Loomis has said, we're going to continue doing what we've been doing, which is just kind of keep rolling the cap down the line. And honestly, like I've heard a lot of people go, you know, you can't do that forever. At some point, the bill comes due. It hasn't yet, but the problem is in return for the bill not coming due, you're playing with a bunch of guys like Cam Jordan who are very aged, and you're playing with a bunch of young guys that maybe aren't the talent you want because you've given up a lot of draft capital as well. Is it hard reboot time with my team? And if that is the case, does that eliminate you from names like Ben Johnson coming down to be the new HC?
I think it eliminates you from guys like Ben Johnson if you stay in the direction you're going. If you stay in this, push it down the line. Because what coach wants that? What coach wants that situation? A hard reset was due last year. You know, which that's when it honestly should have been done when Drew Brees retired and Sean Payton left. That's when the hard reset should have been done, right? Like, hey, let's move on from this generation. Let's close this chapter. This was fun. Let's move on now. That's when it should have been done. Now, you know, yes, it's going to be tough. But if I'm a, you know, guy that's interviewing for the job, it's like, all right, but like, in a rebuild, in a reset, I get to really implement what I want to implement, really do what I want to do, right? Really establish the culture I want to establish. And as long as you're on the same page with the GM and, you know, the owner that, hey, it's going to look a little bit brutal, but there's a plan in sight, you're good. And like Ben Johnson, he was there with Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell came in. It was a hard reboot, right? Like they traded away Stafford. They get Goff. They're a couple good draft picks later. Look where they're at. He's seen it before. Maybe there's a little bit of, I'm not saying Ben Johnson's going to go there, but like there's proof in the pudding a little bit. That's more appetizing to a head coach, a candidate than, hey, we're stuck in purgatory and we, you know, we have a bill that we got to pay that we just keep pushing off. And it's like, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. I don't know if I want to lead that and then keep just doing rental quarterbacks the whole time.
I want to ask you about this. Rashad Beard, who is our guest that comes on and talks Panthers every week, he and I agreed on a philosophy that if you are a team, and especially a team that is maybe bottom third of the league and trying to get turned around, the draft is the weapon, right? And my argument has always been a team's got to be made up of three parts. It's got to be made up of good veteran leadership. It's got to be made up of a bunch of mid-tier guys that provide you with depth when a dude goes down. And you've got to have like a 30-year team made up of good young players that you got cheap because they're on rookie contracts. And that's where the draft comes in, which is why teams like the Lions, like the Patriots for so many years under Bill Belichick, et cetera, like the Chiefs, are good because they stock and then they nail the draft when it comes around. Do you agree with that philosophy that the draft is the most important weapon for teams that are trying to take their trajectory upwards, that the draft is their best friend in that case?
It's always your best friend. It starts and ends at the draft. If you don't draft well, you're not going to play well, right? Like the whole, you're not going to buy every player everything you want in free agency. That's just not how that works. And look at a lot of teams that do like the quick turnaround. It's because they draft. They draft great. Look at the Texans turn last year. They nailed the draft. You got Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. Boom, you're going to a different place. The Lions, I just mentioned them. You know, you go Gibbs. That's a good draft pick. Penei Sewell is a good draft pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's are now staples of your organization that gets turned around and like, all right, now we're going somewhere. And if you want to do like a little small trade to maybe even bump it up even more, you do a small trade to bump it up even more. Kansas City did that too, where they developed their young talent. They continued to do that. And every draft, it's like, gosh, they got that guy. Like, are you kidding me? Xavier Worthy. You know, that guy's, I'm telling you, going to be a top five receiver in the league in next 2 years because he has Patrick Mahomes and he's going to get in a strong system. It is your best friend. Always go through the draft. Buying in free agency helps, but doesn't, you know, explode your team to the next level. So I'm a firm believer in that. And, you know, learn from other teams that do that too. Just learn and just look around the league. The Chargers are a great organization too that's doing that right now. They're building everything through the draft. They're not buying at any point, even though I want them to buy at the deadline. That would have been nice. They're going, no, we're just going to keep our draft capital and keep building what we're doing and draft our guys.
All right, 60-second answer here, Hayton asks Mario. The Commanders. You know I'm a big fan. I got a ticket out on them to win the NFC East. I got a ticket out on Jaden Daniels to be the Rookie of the Year. I think one of those two looks good. First half of the season, the schedule was super easy for the Commanders. They ran up 7 wins out of the first 9. Also do it against 7 of the bottom teams in the NFL. Did I overestimate this team, or do you think this team can, and they've got a showdown tonight with the Eagles that may go a long way in answering this question, can this team win that division?
They can, and I don't think they have to necessarily like win tonight because it's in Philly. Just split with Philly. I think that's perfectly fine. And like their schedule to finish the way, like it's tough, but like it also helps you a lot. Like you have the Cowboys at home. Cowboys are disaster level of the Jets right now. Like they're terrible. They have a coach that's already fired. Like Mike McCarthy's not coming back. I don't even know what he's doing there anymore. Like, dude, just sit at home. Just go home. Enjoy time with your family on Sundays. Then you have the Titans on top of that. Titans are in a crisis themselves. You have Saints who are an interim head coach, and by that time, the interim, you know, bump that you see in gambling is going to be worn off. Then you have the Eagles. If you can take out the Eagles at home, which I think they can, that's a very, very good spot. And then what? You have the Falcons to finish and then Cowboys to end the season. They could very much so to finish the year, maybe lose 1 or 2 games. That's very reasonable. They're in a great spot, man. I think that was a great ticket. That was a great purchase by you. And, you know, a lot of things are going well for this team. I think it's going to continue to go in that direction. What happens with them in the playoffs? I would fade. I would fade. All, right away in the first playoff matchup that they get, I would fade because a rookie QB versus any just team in that NFC, I think it's going to fall short.
Don't have any issue with that. Hating ass Mario. Mario Heron is the executive producer of BetMGM tonight, which you can hear every weekday night right here from 7 until 11 p.m. on the Fan Upstate and Fine Odyssey stations everywhere. He is also an NBA and NFL analyst for the BetQL Network. Joins us every Thursday at 9 o'clock to talk a little footy. And, of course, as we move forward, we'll start morphing into basketball as well. My man, appreciate you as always, Big Dog. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
That was a very aggressive
You didn't get what he did. He wanted the hair to move. I see. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't get that. So it was a power move. That's what that was.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense now. It does. Do you sit around and take selfies of yourself all day when you have a good hair day? I feel like you're totally that guy.
Not selfies. I mean, I guess it is a selfie, but you know, you go on Snapchat a little harder.
There it is. That checks out entirely. Yeah. You absolute millennial.
Well, to send a, you know, potential soulmates.
Okay. God.
Have a heart, Rob. Jeez.
Yeah.
I do. I've been trying to make this kid's life better for 4 years, and he's still trying to get soulmates on Snapchat.
You would think your life is better because he's in it. I mean,
I would argue that you sending me to restaurants dressed up as the Crow, a movie that half of the population doesn't even know, has not helped me in any way.
Have you made better bets because of that?
No, because I ate 12 donuts in 12 minutes.
Talk to you next week, fella. Appreciate you. Yeah. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. We're back with Fight Club after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, it's time to do the Fight Club today, the Fight Club that Rob has been dreading.
I was going to say, why is this the one I've been now, least looking forward to for years?
There is a fight that I've been waiting for a year, maybe a year and a half, and it will take place Saturday. We're going to get to the other thing in a minute, okay? Saturday, the first UFC pay-per-view I'm going to buy in a while because Jon Jones, who currently sits with a record of, if I can... Read it without my glasses on. Oh, no. It's 27, 1-0 in that one, and with a couple of no contests in there. And Stipe Miocic, even though I printed it out, did not go on there. He's pretty good, too. So Stipe versus Jon Jones. This is the match I wanted to see for a while now Because the thing is, John Jones.
Did it lose some luster, though?
It lost a lot.
Taking so long?
Because they kept putting the thing off. But who's out there who's got a shot of beating him? Maybe Aspinall, and he says he won't fight that guy, which makes it sound like he's scared of him. But Stipe ain't fought him forever either. But you do have a former champ fighting the current champ who had the belt handed to him. And we'll see if it's a legitimate fight. It's worth my money if there's a chance, however infinitesimal it may be, that John Jones may get the crap knocked out of him and see stars.
But let's call it what it is. That's all this fight is. It's can Stipe land one on the chin and put him out?
Oh, for sure.
John Jones is a minus 650 favorite. I'll put it this way. If this was any other main event and I looked it up and the main event had the favorite at minus 650, that's not a main event to me. That's at the best, a co-main event, and at the best featuring a star that's on its way out, right?
All right. There was no chance. I don't remember what the odds were when Stipe went up against Daniel Cormier for the second time. I think it was the second time when he won.
It's the same concept. It is, if he's going to win this fight, it's not because you're going to get 3, 4, 5 rounds of a great fight, that it's back and forth in your edge of the seat the whole time. It is going to be John Jones in control of this fight up until and if Stipe Miocic can land a power right that puts him night-night. And that's the only way that Stipe Miocic, he's not going to out-grapple John Jones. He's not going to out-wrestle him. He's not going to out-jiu-jitsu him. He's not going to out-muay thai him. He's not going to out-box him. It is very simple. Does he land a puncher's chance and create a memorable ending? Because that's the only way that a plus 450 favorite is beating the prodigy.
This must be a feeling akin to what you feel when you bet. Because this is a bet for me, spending the money for this, knowing that seconds into the fight, John Jones could just kill the whole night for me again by knocking Stipe out.
You know what? This is exactly that. This is exactly, you are betting $50 or whatever it is.
I think it's $70.
$70, yeah. Whatever it is. You are betting the price of the pay-per-view that you will be entertained. I bet $50 on, I'm not even betting this fight, right? The only justifiable bet here with Miocic is a plus 450 fighter. The only justifiable bet on this fight is Miocic plus 450 and taking that bet, just hoping he knocks him out. That's what you're hoping for. You are betting that you will be entertained by Stipe pulling an upset here with the full knowledge that, based on these betting odds, the likely outcome is that John Jones is going to outfight him for 3 or 4 rounds and then is going to submit him, or it's going to go to the distance and win a unanimous decision. But you're taking the plus 450 bet that Stipe Miocic does something that on Monday you go, I'm glad I watched because I got to see a bit of UFC history in person.
All right, so I believe that Stipe has a chance. It's a very small chance, but I believe he has a chance. And the fact that they both have not been doing anything for a long time, I think that gives him more of a chance. If they both were fighting a bunch, then I would give advantage for sure John Jones.
I think part of what you can bank on, if you are betting the plus 450 underdog here in Stipe Miocic, you and I both know Stipe Miocic takes this crap for real. This is his life. He has never showed up for a fight carrying extra weight, looking slow, looking sluggish. He is always at the best he can be. Now, what's the best that he can be when he is, you know, let's be real, towards the end of his career? What's the best that he can be when he is, God, how old is Stipe Miocic at this point? Like 42, 43?
Well, I think MMA, when you're like 35, you're in your prime.
Sure.
It's
but
weird.
But he ain't. He's 43, yeah. 42. How good can he be? And then there's the flip side of that coin, which is there any element of John Jones that didn't take this camp seriously?
John Jones pretty old too,
yeah,
by the way.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, John Jones being what John Jones is, and he's 37, so he's closer to that 34, 35 range that we like, right? But is there any element of John Jones that isn't taking this camp for real, isn't taking this fight for real, is looking at that line of Stipe plus 450 and going, I got this. Because we all know John Jones ain't right in the head. That's been the thing that prevented him from being the GOAT.
And the most important thing, did the anger management that he's forced to take away some of his edge?
Sure. I mean, there's all the, and I do think that part of what you are betting on is if I was going to bet on this fight, part of what you and I are betting on the same thing, just putting our money different places. You're putting it into the pay-per-view ticket. I'm putting it onto a book to potentially make some money. But we're betting on the same thing, which is, does Stipe show up in the best shape he can be in at 42? And the answer is, yeah, because that's all he's ever done. But on the flip side, does John Jones have any sort of mental hang-up that prevents him from being the best version of John Jones at 37 that, you know, causes him to make a mistake? Does he drop that right hand and open the jaw? Does Stipe end up with a shoot takedown that maybe wins him a shock round that changes the momentum of the fight? I don't know. That's what we're betting on. And again, I'll watch this fight for sure because it's John Jones. And as much as I dislike him as a guy away from the octagon, he's still one of the greatest to ever do it. And I will be absolutely rooting for Stipe Miocic.
Okay, and more than likely, I mean, the fight that will be worth the price of the pay-per-view, Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler, is the co-main.
Yeah.
So that's two big names. That's a big fight
and
right
there,
too.
Michael Chandler's plus 200. Oliveira is minus 250. That's more in line with what I expect as main event odds. Honestly, I'm looking for the perfect ideal world is a minus 115 toss-up pick 'em fight. That fight's going to be good. And for the record, there's a lot of fights on this undercard that are interesting. Wilman Anders is an interesting undercard fight for me. That is a pick'em fight. That's one of a couple of dudes that might be something one day. This is a good card if you are a fan, but the two main events are both interesting for different reasons, but both very interesting.
All right, let's get to it. You took your phone like you're going to leave the room, but I don't think you should. All right, tomorrow night, we know that Netflix is trying to get into sports. If we have time, there's a story, a wrestling story that Netflix of who they want on Monday Night Raw. But tomorrow night, boxing starting out. I don't know if this is the order, but Shadeza Green versus Melinda Watpool for the vacant women's WBO super middleweight title tomorrow night. Also, Mario Barrios versus Abel Ramos. For Barrios' WBC welterweight title. All these are for boxing. The super lightweight title is on the line as Katie Taylor takes on Amanda Serrano for Taylor's IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO women's super lightweight title. I'm guessing she's pretty good since she has all those titles, but there's like 25 titles in boxing right now. And then finally, there's Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. So this is a card full of actual boxing matches that you can't poo-poo because they're all for belts. Oh, you can if you want to.
No. Just so we're clear, it's a fantastic boxing card. It's a great card. If you were going to get me to buy this fight, here's what I'll probably do Saturday night. I will watch all the way up to the main event and then tune right back out. Now, the only issue I have with that is if I watch 90% of the card and not watch Tyson Paul, it still gets my eyeballs. It still clicks the ratings box for that.
I didn't pull the audio, but Mike Tyson said he has a chance for his kids to see he's not a joke, that he is something. And I'm loosely quoting that. And he's very serious. He's also, you could say, he's an actor. I mean,
I will give you this. There is one thing that piqued my interest. One thing. At their press conference, because they've done three or four, and the majority of them are dumb. Paul came out with a freaking rooster head sticking out of his hair one day. I'm like, you're not even a good pro wrestling guy. If somebody did this on Monday Night Raw, I'd turn off.
Saw that when he tried to help at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
not good.
Yeah. I'd tune right back out, all right? Right back out. There is one thing that caught my interest. In the presser, Mike Tyson... And I didn't see the setup. I just saw what Mike said. But in the presser, Mike got to talking, like on a personal level, with some of the people that were in the room. And a lot of guys were just telling him, like, yeah, you're 58 years old. We're picking Jake Paul to win this fight. And Mike was like, I will bet anyone in this room who wants a bet, I will make the bet I win this fight. And like was appeared, and again, can say he's an actor. He has acted. His role in The Hangover is one of the greatest comedy cameos of all time. But he made it sound deadly serious that he was willing to take out a very expensive bet with anyone in the game who wanted to make a bet with him that he would win that fight. And it is the only thing in the year and a half we've been waiting for. Y'all have been waiting for this fight. It is the only thing in a year and a half that I went, maybe he is being for real.
All right, I'm gonna ask you to do something that you ask me all the time. Put aside all the feelings and everything, and just looking at this from an analytical level, if Mike Tyson knocks out Jake Paul,
we never hear from Jake Paul again.
Is the boxing resurgence, renaissance, whatever you might, the interest of the youth? By the way, around this building, a lot of people excited about it. And when I talked about the fights coming on this weekend, my daughter's like, "Oh, you mean Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson?" I was like, "No, I was talking about Stipe versus John Jones." And she's been more of an MMA fan. So people from her age group, T2, who's been on the station some, he looking forward to watching it. Paige from the Rise Guys, looking forward to watch. So there are people scattered throughout this building who want to see this. If Tyson knocks him out, does this kill all that?
If you are watching this fight and Jake Paul losing this fight causes you to not watch boxing anymore, you were never going to get got in the first place. You're not a boxing fan, you're a Jake Paul fan. And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay. He's a gross person. Him and his brother are both gross people. But you're a Jake Paul fan, not a boxing fan, right? If you watch this fight and Jake Paul loses to a 58-year-old grandfather, and you go, okay, I'm done with this, you were never in the first place. You were in because you're following the career of a YouTube star. Again, that's fine. I'm good with that. There are a lot of social media influencers that I follow their career, not in boxing, but just in other aspects, as broadcasters, as whatever. But if you watch this and Mike Tyson wins this fight, whether it's a KO or a decision or whatever, which he won't because it's a money grab, but if he wins this fight, and you go, I'm out, I'm not watching boxing anymore because Jake lost, then you're not a boxing fan. You're a Jake Paul fan. Okay. This is why I've been saying to you, this is not what saves boxing. It's not. Because the people who are tuning in to watch Jake Paul fight are not tuning in to watch boxing. Are tuning in for Jake Paul. Right. And they're not going
to
stick.
So you and I are going to continue to disagree with that, and that's fine. Two more things. Jake Paul says when he wins this fight, he wants Canelo next. If he fights Canelo,
he will die.
If he fights Canelo, will you recognize him as a boxer?
If he fights Canelo Alvarez, I'll tell you right now, I'd buy that fight. You know why I'd buy that fight? Because Canelo Alvarez still makes money as a boxer, being a great boxer. And he ain't the same Canelo he was 5-6 years ago, but he's still one of the best in the world. If Jake Paul climbs in the ring with Canelo Alvarez, who is not, and I did the research on this, a 58-year-old grandfather, if he climbs in the ring with Canelo Alvarez and he fights that fight, one of two things happens. He either lasts with Alvarez, and I go, okay, he's a boxer now. Or he gets his head knocked into outer space, and I go, ha-ha, suck it, Jake Paul. I'm done with you.
Or he wins, and then you say Canelo Alvarez isn't what he used to be. That's the reason why he lost.
Again, I just said Canelo Alvarez right now, not the guy he was 5 years ago, still one of the best in the world. I still, to this day, buy Canelo Alvarez fights because he's a dog. If Jake Paul fights that guy, I will go, credit to you for getting in the ring and actually, because Canelo is not going to agree to a no knockout clause or any of that because he is still selling pay-per-views that he doesn't need Jake Paul for.
All right, one last thing, and this is a wrestling thing. Netflix wants Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. Is this the end of the bloodline? They want them on Raw. Does this mean that Solo's bloodline wins?
First off, wanting them and getting them are different things. Like, oh, I know. And the question mark will be, is Netflix for it? Because we know, based on the fact that WWE is running an annual Saudi Arabian show that screws up every story they have going every year.
Not anymore. It's more. No, it's
dog.
It's storyline related.
Dog.
Now.
It is storyline forced. It is storyline adjacent.
It's better than what it was in the beginning.
Absolutely. But still forced. If Netflix comes off $1 billion, yes, WWE will do whatever they can get that cheddar. We know that. But I think you have to, even if you accelerate it, you have to finish this story. Back after this on The Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown Show wrapping up on a Friday. Nope, Thursday. I did it. Mario did it. Rashad did it. Lonzo's did it. We all got our days screwed up today.
I did it like at the beginning of the week. I know
still
it's
counts.
I know
still
it's
counts.
Thursday because Mario's here and Fight Club just happened and because Rashad's on
Lulu.
And Lulu. I know Thursday's our day.
I am shocked at and disappointed with myself that we did not get to this story earlier in the week. The Auburn basketball team. Did you hear this story? It's my favorite thing. The Auburn basketball team was on a flight. They had to go play an away basketball game that required an airplane to get them where they needed to be. Well, a news story broke over the weekend that the Auburn basketball team's plane had to be diverted and returned back to Opelika, Alabama. And, of course, when you hear a story like that, you're like, uh-oh, what happened, right? Was there an issue? Did they lose an engine? Did something bad happen? Like, what happened? What went down? And then we actually got the audio from the air traffic controller. And I cannot emphasize enough, Lonzo, that this is the actual, I am not ha-ha funnying. You know, sometimes I set up audio and I play something and it's like, oh, that's a joke. That's good. This is the actual, legitimate, 100% authentic audio from the air traffic control tower.
We have got an altercation on board. We thought to declare an emergency and land. We got a bunch of basketball players fighting. The flight deck is secure. The threat level is contained for the moment. We just had... Well, police on the ground, and we had two players that got into physical altercation, clothes were ripped, and one bloody player. And
the Auburn basketball team had at least two players get into a fist fight on the airplane that resulted in torn clothing and at least one player being bloodied up to the point that the pilot of their plane called the ATC, declared emergency, asked for an immediate landing, and requested police be on the tarmac waiting for them. So anyway, everything's going great for Bruce Pearl.
Well, you're not gonna go back there and try to interrupt that because they've got serious reach on you. No matter who you are, there's no one in that plane that doesn't have reach.
Keegan texted the show and said, "We are fine. Things are fine." Signed, definitely not Keegan.
Wow. I wonder if this video. I kind of want to see it. Because we know how basketball players fight, mm-hmm. and I don't know that you have the room to do that dumb
right
overhand thing
yeah.
to basketball because you're in yeah. a confined space. They might actually have to throw some. It's probably just a lot of ripping and tearing of hair.
You know, and one of the things, and I've made this before, when it comes to athletes that make the best fighters, hockey's obviously first.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
You're fighting in the Pee Wee Leagues.
And it's part of the game.
It's part of it. Hockey guys are first. I actually think, sneaky, baseball players are second. Baseball players are second. And here's why. When you watch basketball guys, because these guys are just so damn much bigger than everybody else their entire life, they learn to fight relying on reach. And when you, and this is, again, this is something you learn in boxing. One of the most dangerous things, when you get a guy with reach, if you're somebody with reach, you got to punch to and through. If you get to the point that you start relying on that reach and you're swinging from the outside, right? You're throwing those overhand blows. You're opening yourself up, A, and B, if you come with a big overhand, unless you are, like, moving into that target, there's not that much force behind a big swinging overhand, right? If you got reach, you want to jab, 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 and straight, jab, and hook. You want to keep that fighter, that person you're fighting at a distance. Basketball players, because they're so damn much bigger than everybody else for years, they start, if they get into fights, relying on that big reach, and it opens up the door. Well, then you get two of these guys that are both swinging wildly, And that's why basketball players go last on the list. They're behind baseball dudes when it comes to athletes that can fight.
I might throw soccer down there last, but yeah, basketball, it just doesn't look right. So they would be forced to do some inside punching inside of a plank. So I still want to see the video.
That's also true. You know, we talked about actually. You know what? I got to reach out. I just blanked on this. Was the car fighting championship talked about? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
it's jiu-jitsu.
Car jiu-jitsu. We actually caught an email. Somehow that segment made it to those people. I got an email from a guy that said, "Would you like to have the official play-by-play voice of car jiu-jitsu on your show?" And I said, yeah. We spent like a week or two trying to nail down a time to get him on the show. It just never kind of shaped up and worked out. He's like, hey, let me get through the season, circle back around, I'll come on. So we're going to have that guy on. But I bet you car jiu-jitsu fighting has got to be one of the most challenging forms of combat in the game.
Oh, for sure. But if
these dudes are inside an airplane?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. All right. Time for What the X, where I tell Rob what's X-ing, and he's going to tell us why. The first thing that's X-ing is Catherine Bach.
I saw this earlier, but I did not pay attention to it.
At first, I thought it was another celebrity saying they were leaving the country or something.
Sure.
And I've looked around, and apparently there's one of these lists of hottest back in the day, like in the 70s.
You know what? That makes its rounds every night.
Yeah.
You know what? One of my favorite things on
Daisy
the internet
Dukes,
right now.
Man. I mean, you know.
One of my favorite things on the internet right now, and people have figured out this genre and are rolling with it, is young people discovering old people things, right? There's clips going around right now of young, when I say young, I'm talking, you know, kids in their late teens, early 20s, discovering Black Betty. Oh, Black Betty, yeah. Ram-ba-lam, oh, Black. And like, being like, holy crap, this is incredible. Because it is. It's an incredible piece of music.
It also was banned for a time.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
It's a great song. As a matter of fact, not only a great song, Lonzo, this is also a little bit of Rob Brown trivia. It was the intro song to my first ever radio show, right? Great song. And there's videos going around of people. One of my favorite things is when young cats, young dudes get hit with a picture of Daisy Duke from back in the day or young Pam Anderson or Carmen Electra and watch them be like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get it.
So again, I think that's what it is. So when I clicked on it, it's just a bunch of pictures of Daisy Duke, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So it wasn't a bad click. So back in the day, Dukes of Hazzard, that's why you're watching it, especially if you are a teen or preteen or probably an adult also. The next thing that's X-ing is UAP/UFO.
Okay, so we got another round of governmental agencies doing press conferences.
We
and
got
what,
confirmation,
one,
man. We
this
got
one,
confirmation.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you do. You have a guy who says you have it. All right? Guy who says you have
it's incredible.
Another round of they do these hearings, and I am convinced at this point it is because, can we be honest, we have just turned our government into entertainment. That's all it is anymore. We have just turned our government into theater.
Or you could go wag the dog, don't look at how inept stuff is.
Whatever
you
want to
talk
say.
About
that's
this.
Still entertainment.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
You're right.
We have turned our government into, at every level, we have turned our government into performance theater at this point, and I'm convinced this is a part of that. So yesterday, a dude got in front of Congress and said,
by the way, he has a title and things, so it's not like he's just like,
he's a
hey,
dude.
John, come in here. We saw you posted
some UFO
footage.
Yeah.
It's
he's
not like
a dude.
That.
A dude got in front of a congressional hearing and said that they have recovered organic material. They have recovered, and I quote, biologics from an alien test site. Who is Mr. Elizondo?
I'm guessing you're pronouncing his name wrong. If you said it right, everyone would know him.
I would also like to point out that in the soundbite, he said that he was aware of reporting that we have found biologics, and then it got clipped to when he said, we have found biologics, and everybody's losing their mind.
There's no way you've watched all the footage, because it's very lengthy.
I understand
I sent you some of it.
But I did go watch the long-form version of the clip you sent. And he said he is aware of reporting that we've had. Yes, of course, there's idiots on the internet. We've established this.
I just wanted to mess with you last night.
I had no doubt. I knew exactly why you sent it. And I bit anyway because I'm a giant idiot. All right? I'm a giant idiot.
I mean, that's just some Bush League stuff.
Y'all have a great rest of your Thursday. Don't drink and drive. I will punch you in the face. Come back tomorrow. We're going to do another show, and it might be better than this one. We'll see. Y'all have a great rest of your day. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later! Oh, my clip's not playing. We'll just go out. Have a good day, everybody.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.